Luke chapter 14, we're going to be in verses 15 through 24. No, it's on. Don't get rid of it. Okay, good. So, we have been in this passage in Luke for the last couple weeks. And to give you some background again, Jesus has been on the Sabbath invited to a prominent Pharisee's home. The Pharisees were the religious experts of their day, and they were very good at sitting in judgment of others and thinking that they had a claim on salvation when Jesus clearly taught that they didn't. And so he went to eat at this prominent Pharisee's home. He was being carefully watched. He healed on the Sabbath a man with dropsy, and then watched as everyone went to sit around the table for this feast that was prepared for them, and gave a parable about how they were all choosing the most honored spots, told them, don't do that. Instead, choose the least honored spot so that the host will come and tell you, come up here. If not, you're in an honored spot, and a more honored guest comes, then the host will have to tell you in front of everyone and shame you and tell you to sit in a place of least honor. And I told you then that Jesus wasn't just talking to them about seating arrangements, that this was a parable, Scripture tells us. And so this is talking about heaven. And this is just another way that Jesus is letting us know that those that think they are first will be last. But those who humble themselves and become as last will be first. And so, then Jesus turns to the host and lets him know.
When you give a big feast, don't just invite those that can pay you back, but invite the least of these, and you will be like the Heavenly Father, who invites all to come to his banquet. And so that's where we left off, and we start back up in verse 15. Will you stand with me as we honor God in the reading of his word? Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15, and we're going to go through verse 24 this morning. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field, and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Will you pray with me? Lord, we pray that your word would illuminate in our hearts your desire for our lives. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us clearly today through this word. And Lord, I pray that if any are not counting themselves among those invited to your banquet, I pray that this morning they would recognize the invitation. Lord, they would accept. And I pray, Lord, for the rest of us who are looking forward to that great banquet this week, that we would recognize that we are to go out and invite you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that your name would be praised through your word. In Christ, I pray. Amen. Will you please be seated? The focus of the sermon this morning is twofold. First, I want to talk to you about this banquet, and again, as we talked about last week, again ask you,
have you accepted Christ's invitation of eternal life? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ, and will you be part of His great banquet? The bride, the people of Christ, meeting up with the groom for the great wedding feast for all eternity to be in heaven with Him. Are you going to be part of that? As they say, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Will you be in that number? And the second thing, the second part of this twofold message is, are you like these servants going out and bringing the invitation to others? To begin with, have you responded to the invitation of the banquet? Look at what Jesus talks about. There was this man, a certain man, he says. We don't know anything about him, but we know he was preparing a great banquet and inviting many guests. For a certain man to invite many guests to a great banquet at this time, that man would have been very wealthy. He would have been someone that everyone would have known. It would have been the banquet to end all banquets. People would have been dying for an invite. Because at this time, there weren't that many who could hold a great banquet and invite many guests and have many servants to send out. But this man would have prepared this banquet months ahead of time, let people know. There would have been a first invitation that went out. Will you come to my banquet? And a time, not a specific time, but a date would have been given. On such and such a date, I will be holding a great banquet and would appreciate your attendance. Will you come? You would have had to let this man know back then, yes or no. So if you had something like you were going to get married, or if you were planning on buying a new field, or if you were planning on having new oxen to plow with, all those things, you would have had to let this man know ahead of time, either, look, I'm not going to be able to do it on that date, or, of course, I'll come to your banquet. And everything else is nowhere near as important. And so then what happens is when the date comes, the man sends out his servants. You know, they didn't have clocks back then. They didn't have cell phones. Believe it or not, they didn't even have home telephones, landlines. They didn't just pick up the phone and say, hey, come on, it's time. Or text someone and say, where are you? It started. Instead, this man would have sent out his servants a second time to those who had already said that they would like to attend. And those servants would come and say, it's time, come. Can I let you know that the invitation has been sent out by God over 2,000 years ago for all to come to Him and be saved? Christ Jesus died on a cruel, wicked cross, but that is not what saves us. The fact that He took on all the sin of mankind and the wrath from the Father for that sin and became an atoning sacrifice, a replacement for you and I in our own sin, that brought salvation to mankind. The fact that He would give Himself up, an unblemished sacrifice, never having sinned Himself, and yet taken on the penalty for sin, taken it in your place and my place, taken it for the sin of mankind, dying on that cross, separated from the Father, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me, to His own Father? Separated because of that sin that He had never experienced being upon Him, and the wrath for that sin being laid on Him. That was the invitation. Now, the second invitation has come. Will you accept the grace that came through Jesus Christ. Will you accept his invitation? Will you look forward to the day that lasts for eternity, where there is no need for sun or moon because the light of the Savior gives light to all? Do you accept this invitation to come and eat at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Eat at the feast of the Lamb and the Father and the Spirit. Do you accept the invitation to surrender your life to the one who gave you life and will give you new life? The Lord says, come, for now everything is ready. Scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. Is it your day? This man sent out his servants to say, now, come. Now's the time. You are ready. We are ready. Now come experience the great banquet that my master has planned for you. And yet, Jesus says, but they all alike began to make excuses. It's interesting. They had some very important things that had to be done. They had some very important things in their life that took priority, of course. I can't stop right now and go to the master's home to eat this banquet with him because I have important things to do. Please tell your master. Please send my regards and let him know how sorry I am that I cannot attend at this time. I know it seemed like I said I would, but there's just important things to come up. The first one says that he had bought a field. I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. It sounds like a very good reason to not attend, doesn't it? I'm sorry, I can't do anything about this. I just bought this field. You know I've got to go see it. What would happen if I didn't go check on it? Of all days, I wish it was tomorrow. I really do. But today just doesn't work for me. Now is not a good time for me. And yet this man could have bought the field the following week or the previous week. And would you ever buy a field without looking at it ahead of time? There's no way this man hasn't spent time in this field already. I'm sorry, is what he's saying, but your offer, it looked good at one time. It just doesn't look that good today. I've got other things. I've got better things to do. And the second one says that he had just bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's a lot of oxen. 10 oxen? A yoke would be 2 together to pull a plow? 5 plows? This was a very large, wealthy landowner, evidently. He just bought 5 more. Who knows how many he already had? But, you know, that makes sense. He's got a big estate he's got to take care of. Terrible timing. I'm sorry, I just can't go today. These 5 oxen obviously need my attention. I'm a very important man. I can't just get away at any point. Please let your master know how sorry I am. It's unavoidable. It just can't be done. And yet the master saw that as a flimsy excuse. The man could have bought the oxen another day. And to act like he would have never been able to break them in just doesn't hold water. And then the final, the third, had just gotten married. Obviously, this is a really good reason not to be able to attend, isn't it? Just got married. You know, if you just got married, they won't send you overseas in the military. They get you to stay home until your honeymoon's up at least. It's a very good reason not to be able to attend. But tell me, couldn't they have planned the wedding on a different date? All of these turn out to be flimsy excuses because no matter how important it seems to them, in comparison to this great man and his banquet that they've been invited to, it pales Why? They are telling him, you are simply not important to me. I simply have better things to do. Lord Jesus Christ has issued this invitation to you a long time ago. He shared it with you several, many times over the time of your life. Over and over and over, that invitation has been before you. You may not have seen it written on a piece of paper or a nice embossed stationery, but it has been given to you. Will today be the day that you finally stop giving excuses? Will today be the day that you understand that that great banquet is more important than anything that life has to offer? Will today be the day that you finally stop making excuses for yourself and your own behavior and say, Lord, I surrender to you completely. You are worthy, and I want to be part of your banquet. I want to have eternity with you. This past Friday, I was able to be part of a funeral service for a woman who had cancer for many years. She died at the age of 59, almost 60, just before her 60th birthday. A few years back, she surrendered her life to Jesus. And it was a glorious thing to be able to stand at her funeral and say, she is at the great banquet with her Savior. The same Savior that strengthened her through her battle is the one who has accepted her into His kingdom. The same Savior that wiped the tears from her pain-stricken face these last years has finally wiped the last tear from her eyes, and she will never have another tear again because she is in His arms. Will that be the testimony that's given of you? That you will be where there are no more tears. That death will never have a hold on you because you are sitting at the banquet with the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Because you didn't keep making excuses and saying salvation can be tomorrow. I'm just too busy today. You didn't keep saying it's just too much fun right now to give things up for Jesus Christ. You said, Lord, take anything you need. I want you and you alone. Will that be your testimony? The invitation is there. All excuses are nothing but disrespect to the one who gave the invitation. They may seem so important to us, but be careful that you don't keep making invitations and sinning against this great God over and over and over to the point that the door will be shut and you will be shut out of the banquet. The last verse of this passage in verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Earlier in chapter 13, Jesus says to enter through the narrow door. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading. Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Have you accepted the invitation? It's a wonderful invitation, but it's up to you to accept. You can reject it. And when you spend eternity in hell where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire never quenches and the worm never dies, when you're in that eternity of hell, you will remember that you put yourself there because you refused that invitation. You had so many excuses that sounded so important at the time. But the door was shut, and you found yourself on the outside. Second, are you compelling others to come to this banquet? When these three wouldn't come, it says in verse 21, the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly." Verse 21. "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." In verse 23, he says, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in." Does this describe your life? Have you received the invitation for this great banquet and surrendered your life to Christ so that you will enjoy it for all eternity? And now you're so excited about this, you can't wait to tell others. You hear Jesus speak, "Go and make disciples among all the nations." You hear him say these things and say, "Lord, send me, I'll go." Do you share that great invitation with others? There's still room for more. It says in verse 22, "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room." I have to tell you, the Jehovah's Witnesses have some really bizarre ideas about the afterlife. They believe that when they read through Revelation and see 144 witnesses, 12,000 from every tribe of the Israelites, they believe that 12,000 times 12, or 144,000, are only the most elect of all God's people and the only ones that will be in heaven. Now, they may have come to your door and given you a Wake magazine and other things and you not realize exactly what they were talking about. But they have 144,000 witnesses. Those are the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then everyone else is on the new earth for all eternity. Now, let me tell you something. That would say that heaven is closed. Because surely in the last 100 years, there's been 144,000 people that get to be part of that group. That's a very narrow door, by the way. Narrower than Jesus talks about. There is still room in heaven. God doesn't have to close the doors because there's too many coming in. It's not a special banquet that ahead of time he said, "Okay, I can sit this many on this side, this many on this side. Oh, you know what? There's only 144,000 seats." No. The invitation is open to all. It's still open. Do you let people know the invitation is still open? Heaven has not shut its doors. There will be a time that the doors are shut for all eternity. Don't find yourself outside those doors. But those doors are open to you today. Please. Do you share this with others? Please accept the invitation that Christ gives. There's no limit. There's no seating arrangement that fills up. You don't have to get special tickets that are numbered in special order. No. It's open to all who will receive Christ as Lord and Savior. All who will confess their sin in brokenness and humility before His throne and confess Him as Lord and Savior now. And we are sent. He says, "Go out quickly. Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in." Why would he say make them come in? Were these servants supposed to go out, grab people kicking and screaming, knock them over the head with a club so that they would then be able to drag them into the banquet? What does he mean, make them come in? In fact, in the King James it says to compel them to come in. I'll tell you why sometimes it seems like you're pleading for someone and making them come to Christ. I'll tell you why, because they realize they don't deserve him. Look who he was telling to go out. He wasn't telling the servants, go out and find more landowners. Go out and find the wealthy and the famous. No, he's saying, forget them. They don't want this salvation of mine. So go to the people who are in the greatest need and let them know they can eat at my table. They may not be invited to anyone else's table, but my table is open to them. You see, the lame, the sick, the blind, these were those that were never invited to the Pharisees' homes. They weren't allowed to come near them. If they would have come into the house, then that Pharisee would have been defiled. And he wouldn't have been able to feel righteous in his own sight. But God says, those are the ones I want the most. Isn't it interesting when you read through the scripture and you read 1 Corinthians, and the Apostle Paul talks to the church at Corinth, and he says, not many of you were noble. Not many of you were wealthy. Not many of you were anything in the world's sight. But God took you and made you into something amazing. Whenever I read through 1 Corinthians, I think about our church. Not the sin of the man with his stepmother. But the type of people that they were. The folks absolutely in need of a Savior and probably thinking they didn't deserve Him beforehand. The prostitutes and the thieves and the lowly in the world's eyes. Coming to Christ. Remember when the woman comes to Jesus and washes His feet with her tears and takes her hair and brushes the tears off to clean His feet. And the Pharisee is indignant and says, oh, if he knew that woman, he wouldn't let her touch Him. And Jesus says, isn't it something? I've been in your house all this time. You never offered anything for me to even wash my hands. And yet this woman comes in and she's washing my feet with her tears and drying my feet with her hair. She needs salvation. She needs forgiveness. The Pharisee didn't think he did. She knew she needed it and knew the only way to come to Jesus was at His feet. This invitation that God has given to all of us is to everyone. There's no one who is too lowly for this invitation, even though they might think that way. There's been several over the years that have come to Christ through this church who never felt worthy of being around others in this church. They had some idea that all these members of the church were so holy and that they were so unworthy. They say that to me and I just laugh. Really? Really? You obviously know nothing about my past or the past of anybody else here. There's no one here more worthy of salvation than anyone else. This is a message we bring to all. Years ago, a woman got saved and I talked to her about going next door and speaking to the neighbor. She said, oh, you don't want her in your church. I said, what do you mean? She needs to come to church. No, you've never heard her mouth. Pastor, you couldn't have her in your church. She cusses a blue streak. And I looked at this woman. I said, do you think you're that much better? Do you think any of us are that much better? That's exactly who needs Christ, isn't it? Do you withhold inviting others to Christ because you don't think they're worth it? Your Savior doesn't feel that. So this twofold message this morning, have you responded to this invitation? Will you be at this great banquet? And the second, do you invite others? In Psalm 23, David says, you make a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Then he says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all of my days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that your testimony? Let's pray. You go before this great God and on His mighty throne and bow before Him in prayer. Closing our eyes to minimize distractions and bowing our heads in honor and respect. Lord, we come before You amazed that You would invite us. Lord, I think of the line by Groucho Marx and Woody Allen, I would never join a club that would have me as a member. We're just amazed that you would ever want us, Lord. Why would you want us? But we want you. Thank you for this great invitation. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would have that testimony, that love, loving kindness and goodness would follow them for all of their days, and that they would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I pray that there would be none here that would leave without accepting your invitation of eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that you would astound us to the point that our hearts are so great, filled with gratitude, so grateful for what you've done for us, Lord, that we would just tell everyone, invite them to your Lamb's supper table. While your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, will you just lift up your heart to this great God in prayer? Will you surrender everything to Him, confessing your sin to Him, asking for His forgiveness? And if you are truly surrendering today and accepting this invitation that's so freely given to you, if this is the day of your salvation, if up till now you've always made excuses, but today you're tired of excuses and you just want Him to be your Savior, will you share that with us? Will you let us know that you're surrendering your life to Jesus and being saved? I invite you to do so. I invite you to come forward while every head is bowed and eyes closed. I invite you to just walk down this aisle and come up and say, Pastor, I'm being saved. Jesus is now my Savior. I'm surrendering my life to Him. There is no other that I want. I invite you to do that. We wait on you for just a few moments. Will you come? While you're in prayer, will you spend time asking God to show you how to invite others into His kingdom? Ask Him to give you the words to speak, or maybe just the attitude to display, to show people who He is. That He would take hold of you in such a way that this invitation would ring out through your life. That just by knowing you, others would want to be at that wedding feast. Lord, we pray that you would use us to share your love and your glory with others. We pray that you would use this church to see salvation come to this neighborhood. We pray, Lord, that you would send us out and that we would respond freely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.